Father Dominic Alain is a well-known and internationally respected author, Catholic journalist, seminary professor, and retreat director. He is also international pastoral director of the charity Grief to Grace. Father Alain, thank you for talking to Vatican Radio.
Thank you, Phil. Good to be talking to you.
Benedict XVI and Pope Francis have said that the Church's priority now must be to bring healing to victims of abuse. How do you think Grief to Grace answers the Pope's call to action? And what was it that made you bring it to England?
Well, I think everyone in the Church was left reeling by the abuse crisis, but we need to be very clear that only the Holy Spirit can search out our deepest heart and our deepest wounds. So abuse is not just a psychological wound. It doesn't just affect a person at the level of their psyche or indeed at the level of their sexuality. As Catholics, we would say that the body and spirit are intimately connected. So that abuse is a spiritual wound. It damages someone at the deepest level. I love that phrase in the Catechism. I think it's in the section on prayer where it talks about the language of the heart. And it says, this is the biblical expression, the place to which I withdraw. The heart, it says, a place of encounter, covenant, and truth. A place deeper than the human psyche. So Grief to Grace takes this approach, this Catholic anthropology, and it says that the human science of psychology is of use. It can clear the ground for the action of the Holy Spirit. It employs a very skillful understanding of the psychological effects of trauma, but the heart of the process isn't a psychological one, it's a Christological one. It's about putting people in touch with the mystery of Jesus' own death and resurrection. At each stage of his paschal mystery, seeking to unite our wounds with Jesus so that we share in his victory. It integrates the sacraments and the sacramentals. We know as Catholics that the deepest healing is to be found there. So they're integrated into the process, daily mass, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, confession, and the intercession of Our Lady, of the angels. All of these things make it more than just a psychological exercise. And it's important also to realize that even at a therapeutic level, even at the level of science, we know that simply talking about trauma doesn't fix it. Just getting some counseling for victims of abuse is not an adequate response to the abuse crisis in the Church. Grief to Grace integrates the most up-to-date psychological understanding with Orthodox Catholic spirituality and sacramental life, and we think that's why it's so powerful and effective. And that's why I wanted to see it in England. I had seen that it works in an amazing way. You see an incredible transformation in people after just 5 days of this course. And I'd also seen that the people running it were totally committed to healing the Church through healing the victims. St. Ambrose has a beautiful phrase. He says, you should be able to see the whole of the Church in the soul of one person. So the abuse crisis isn't over until all the victims are healed. And it would be so easy to use this kind of work to seek to campaign against the Church, to say, well, you know, we want to change the rules on celibacy, or all of this is because of repressive Catholic teaching on sexuality, or indeed to have a very secular psychological approach which says, well, you do whatever you like if that makes you feel good. Whereas I was so struck by the fact that this program has a totally Catholic anthropology. It's grounded in faith.
Father, is Grief to Grace just for Catholics who have been the victims of abuse, or is anyone welcome to seek your help?
No, not at all. It's not just for Catholics. We have Christians who come. We have people of no faith who come. I would say that you need to have a sense of the spiritual. You need to believe in the immaterial soul. You need to believe that this is about more than just a psychological process. I think because the Christian scriptures are used in it a lot, on the whole, it's people, Christians at least, and if not Catholics, who come. And I would also say that for most people, the beginning of healing is a spiritual process. It's something deep in their hearts, their wisdom, knows that there is a higher power, almost as in a 12-step program where someone says, you know, there's a higher power that can save me from this. I can't save myself. So reaching out to a power beyond yourself, I would say, to something spiritual is an important part of it. On the whole, in England, it's mostly Catholics and Christians who come. But anybody is welcome who we feel will benefit from it.
How do you regain the trust of those who have been victims of abuse by clergy and religious? Surely a priest or anyone else associated with the Church is the last person they would want to speak to.
I think we have to recognise that when someone is very angry with the Church, that's not at all the same thing as them being indifferent. Anger is a stage of grief, and so when someone is really angry with a priest, they have a reason for that. So that very often, the very first thing that will happen in a Grief to Grace retreat is that someone who has been abused by a priest will confront the priest and say, I didn't think there were going to be priests here. And it's good that that happens, because they need to express that anger. Behind it is a grief that the thing they loved, the Church, or the priesthood that they respected, has been the source of their wounding. What happens is, instead of saying, oh no, it's not all priests, or going into some kind of theological debate about this, we just let them stand there and say, we say to them, the Church really hurt you, didn't it? We encourage them to say that to the priest. A priest really hurt me, or I really love the church, and a priest destroyed my faith in it. And what we find is that as the course goes on, to the point where people really are learning to grieve and let go, very, very often it's the priest that that person will come to when they finally see the depth of their grief and they want to be comforted. And of course, priests can apologize in the name of the church. They can say, I'm so sorry a priest did that to you. We don't have to be frightened of people's anger. Their anger is, in some sense, justified, and also their anger is a sign of the grief. If you don't care about the church anymore, that's one thing, but if you're angry with her, it's because deep down you love her very much.
Could you explain how you enable participants to receive the healing of Christ? You specifically refer in the literature of the charity to the Paschal Mystery. How does the programme help them move away from the isolation, secrecy, sense of shame and fear which they have lived with?
We function as a group for this process. Perhaps we'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. But that group is the suffering body of Christ. You know, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name. And that's how you end the isolation. You know, for most of these people, this terrible thing that happened to them had to be kept secret. And keeping it secret compacts all the trauma, all the pain, so that the group is a place, quickly becomes a place of safety, a place where their pain is going to be witnessed. And as I said, we use a lot of psychological techniques to get them in touch with these feelings, to surface memories. But then the process becomes a bit like an Ignatian retreat, where we are actually meditating on the scriptures, and we have special meditations called living scriptures, where we are following the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary. And at each stage, as Jesus suffers and is wounded, we encourage them to reflect on their own wounds, but to unite these with Jesus. And so they go with him through his passion to the resurrection. So it's very much focused on the Paschal Mystery. In that sense, it's the pattern of all our Christian lives. You know, we are supposed to be living this Paschal Mystery with Jesus through our baptism. So it's a very powerful experience.
Could you say a little more about the group process? In what way is this better than a one-on-one experience?
Understandably, I think people initially are slightly fearful of that, but it's very, very important. First of all, because the group functions to witness what these people have suffered. I think it's the American philosopher Henry Thoreau who says it takes two people to hear, one to speak and one to listen. So we are acting as witnesses. For the first time, people can speak what's happened to them. The world isn't going to cave in, because that's the fear of a child. If you tell this secret, the world will cave in around you. And they can actually look into the eyes of somebody else and say, this is what happened to me. And they can receive the compassion of the group. The group also helps people get in touch with their own feelings, because sometimes people can't grieve for themselves, or they can't be angry for themselves, because their feelings are too frozen. But seeing this in somebody else, they get in touch with it. So the group holds a mirror up, both in the sense of mirroring the pain, but also in the sense of mirroring the compassion that people have for one another. And the group becomes an incredibly powerful experience of healing. These people find this incredible solidarity, because it's a solidarity not just in suffering, but also in faith, in communion, you know, with people who are also seeking the Lord.
If someone listening has a history of abuse, what would your advice be to them?
I would say that you do need help with this. You can't deal with this kind of thing on your own. So reach out to a priest, perhaps in confession, first of all, if you haven't done so already, because you know that's a place of secrecy, that someone will just hear your story and keep it safe. I would say that you need to have immense faith in the love that God has for you. This wasn't your fault. Shame is the most profound experience that abuse victims suffer. And the Lord wants to take that shame from you. And yeah, we have a website. Contact us, www.grieftograceuk.org. And think about coming on a Grief to Grace retreat. It's no accident that you've heard this program, perhaps. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is prompting you.
Father Dominic Alleyne, thank you for talking about the work of Grief to Grace in the United Kingdom.
Phil, thank you very much. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
For Vatican Radio, I'm Phil Andrews. Laudato Jesus Christus.